Okay, so page 217 in the church Bibles, Joshua chapter 3, reading the first six verses. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits between you and the ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Joshua said to the priests, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead of them. Okay, so sorry, yeah. Okay, so what did God say to me? And it was simple, very simple words that I've just read to you. Let's say it together. Consecrate yourselves for tomorrow. Okay, so consecrate yourselves. That's I mentioned earlier about names of kings, and they had the best names. I remember growing up, I always used to get fascinated by and intrigued by long words. And consecration was one of those long words that I never quite understood. And another word for consecration is an even better word, sanctification. What a great word. And it's one of those words I was brought up with, and I didn't understand what it meant. But consecration, sanctification, Joshua comes to the people and says, look guys, we've never been this way before. We don't know what to do. And I guess God has said to Joshua, I'm going to be with you. Just keep my word right in front of you, and I'll be with you. Now say this to the people, consecrate yourselves. Sanctify yourselves. Now, what does this consecrate yourselves mean? What does this word consecrate mean? What it means in English is make holy, is to make holy. Now, immediately you might say to me, well, what on earth does that mean, really? To make holy, that's a very Bible word. That's a very God word, to make holy. We know that God is holy, but what does it mean for us to make ourselves holy? What do we do if we're to hear these words for ourselves? Consecrate yourselves, make yourselves holy, because God says, tomorrow I'm going to do amazing things. What this idea to make holy, we've just sung it about it actually in that song, Purify My Heart, Set Apart for You, Lord. To make something holy is to set something apart, to put it, to take it out of the everyday, to take it out of the normal, the run of the mill, where it fits into everything else, and to say, well, I'm placing it over here. It's going to be sacred. It's going to be special. I'm putting it on one side, and that is to set it apart. So there's a sense in which Joshua is saying to the people, consecrate yourselves, sanctify yourselves, make yourselves holy. Set yourselves apart for God, because you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You've never been this way before. The answers to the questions you have today, well, they're the old answers, because God is going to do something new tomorrow. And you don't know what the answers are going to be to the questions you will have that you don't even know you'll have tomorrow. And so you need to set yourselves apart. You need to make a decision for yourself. and a decision for ourselves to set ourselves apart. Another way to describe it, and sometimes this is used, it's used in this way in the Bible, is to devote something or to devote someone to God. There's a woman in the Bible by the name of Hannah, and she prayed for years and years and years for a child, for a son. And eventually, God heard her prayer, and she had a son by the name of Samuel. And she declared that Samuel was holy, dedicated, set apart for God. And from that time on, Samuel lived, and it's an extraordinary scene, Samuel lived in the temple. Samuel lived right next to the altar, the sacred place of God, because that was the setting apart. And that is one of the other ways to set something apart, to devote something or someone to God. And it may be that that is our response, to say, okay, my obedient response to God, to consecrate myself, to make myself holy, is to be quite clear about what it means to set myself apart, to devote myself in a new and fresh way to God. A third way is to give allegiance to someone. To give allegiance to someone. And that is to be holy. To say, from now on, I'll listen to this voice. To now on, I'll follow the teaching of this person. From now on, I will obey what I hear God say. And that's my devotion. That's my giving to holiness. That's my allegiance, is to God. Now, one of the challenges, of course, is when we say, okay, I will obey this word. I'll hear this word and I'll seek to obey it as best I can to consecrate myself, to be part of us consecrating ourselves to God in anticipation of everything that we don't yet know, but in anticipation of what God will do among us. One of the challenges is, having said, I will make myself holy, sometimes it's easier to work out what we're going to leave out. To decide, okay, well, this part of my life, you know, and that's not about my devotion to God. I need to just put that aside. I've been committed to this particular thing. This has been my ambition over here. Well, it's not part of that devotion to holiness and devotion to God, so I need to have less emphasis upon this other thing now. And I need to leave out a whole stack of things, things that I think or thought were important, and I've spent a lot of time and energy doing this and that and the other. But when it comes to devoting ourselves to God, we realize there's a whole lot of stuff we just let go. And so from now on, those things are not going to count as important as they did before. And so I'll just let them go. And so we have this word, consecrate yourselves, make yourselves holy, set yourselves apart, devote yourselves, give allegiance to God in a fresh way. Three statements, three ways in which we can read this. The first way is, you might say, okay, from now on, I give allegiance. That sounds very American, doesn't it? I give allegiance to the life, character, purpose, and mission of God. That's something of what it means to consecrate ourselves, to make ourselves holy, where we say, from now on, I give allegiance, anything that's to do with God, the life, the mission, the purpose of God, the character of God, if it reflects all of that, I give allegiance to that. You might read that and you say, I'm still scratching my head over it. Another way to say is, I say yes. I say yes. I say yes to the life, of God. Life of God, come fill me. I say yes. Character of God. We receive the character of God by the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, fill me. And I say yes to the Spirit of God, to the purpose of God, to the mission of God, whatever it is that God is up to. Sometimes we I ask the question, what is God saying to us? And I was pondering this the other day. And, you know, what is God saying to us? And then the question in my head changed to, what is God already doing? And sometimes we need to look not at what God is saying, but just look at what he's doing and go, oh, he's already ahead of me. You know, I just need to look and see. And sometimes we need to see what God is doing and understand that's the mission of God, that he's already doing it. And we need to get on board with that. So it may be that we say, yeah, that first one, I give allegiance. That really resonates to me. I can go with that. It may be that the second one, I say yes to whatever God is doing, whatever God is, I say yes. A third one, if those two don't resonate, simply this. I say, I will follow Jesus. They say, well, isn't that a bit different? Well, not really. Because Jesus is the exact representation of the life, purpose, character, and mission of God. Sometimes people say, well, what is God like? Show me what God's like. And do you know what the best answer is? Jesus. Well, I know the answer's always Jesus. But the answer's Jesus. If you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. And I know I say this, but I do encourage people, read the Gospels. Read the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. Read the Gospels, because there we see the teaching of God. Jesus communicates in his teaching a lifestyle that emanates from the heart of God, the character of God. Read the teaching of Jesus and receive it and seek to respond obediently to it. We see there the character of Jesus, and that reflects the character of God and the challenge that is in the teaching of Jesus. I will follow Jesus. I say I will follow Jesus all the days of my life. So there's three options for you. Three ways to say, what does it mean for me to consecrate myself or to sanctify myself or make myself holy, devoting myself to God? I give allegiance, or I say yes, or simply I will follow Jesus. And in all this, of course, we look to Jesus, and he is described as the Holy One of God. Jesus is described as in the Bible as the Holy One of God, somebody who is utterly devoted to the life and the character and the purpose and mission of God. I find it fascinating that in the Gospel, I think there's a couple of places in the Gospels where the utterance is made, you are Jesus, the Holy One of God. One time Jesus goes into the synagogue, and there's a man in the synagogue, I think I'm right in remembering, a man in the synagogue possessed by an unclean spirit. And that man is not able to influence Jesus with his uncleanness. And because this man seems to be hitting a barrier with Jesus, can't have any influence over Jesus, he sees who Jesus is. I know who you are, the Holy One of God. What was that unclean man seeing and feeling and experiencing? Here was a man in Jesus, utterly devoted to God, with an undivided heart. And I think the other example may be when Jesus and his disciples, they cross over the Sea of Galilee, and they get to the region of the Gerasenes or the Gadarenes, and there's a man there living among the tombs, a life of social death, outcast from his community. And nothing the local community can do with him. That man, in terms of his place in society, is outcast, he's dead, he's living under the around the tombs in the graveyard as a powerful living symbol of his deadness. And yet the one coming towards him is Jesus, the giver of life. I know who you are. The Holy One of God, embodying the life of God. And so, consecrate yourselves. We fix our thoughts, we fix our eyes upon Jesus, the Holy One. The one who, in love and obedience and devotion and service, is the embodiment of that holiness. It may seem like a simple thing for us to give ourselves in a fresh way to God. Let me just encourage you with these words. Come to God with a humble heart. Come to God with open hands. Come to God with a willing response. Come to God with a humbled heart. Don't think you know the answers, because the answers of yesterday may not be the answers God wants to give tomorrow. Come with open hands, because all you've done yesterday and today need to be ready for something new tomorrow. Come with a willing response, because what is new sometimes surprises us and we're not quite sure we're ready for the surprises of tomorrow. And we want to build on what was yesterday, but God says, I'm doing something new. And so come to God. Come prayerful. Come listening. Come blessing. Come prayerful to God. And prayer is not simply us speaking words to God. Prayer is about our relationship with God. It's about listening to God. It's about responding to God. It's about speaking to God. It's about living a life that is open to Him, to say, I don't know the answers. I'm not even sure of my own questions. But my whole relationship, as I walk down the road, or as I sleep, or as I eat, or as I engage with people, I want it to be one of prayerfulness. I want to listen to God. I want to listen to others. I want to read and I want to watch, because we see and hear God in all sorts of places and we want to respond and we want to come as those who are ready to bless, because God has blessed us in extraordinary ways. So may God have mercy upon us. Let's pray together. Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.